Hey guys, welcome into Keep It About Ball, daily talk about football, baseball, sports betting, and other headlines from around the sports world. I'm your host, Zach Mays. Please make sure to go follow the show and I on Twitter at Keep It About Ball and at Zach Got That Dog. The show is also on my YouTube channel at Zach Mays, where you can find episodes daily along with the occasional song. Thanks as always and enjoy. All right, everybody, welcome into some Keep It About Ball. Not quite forgotten, at least not by me. I'm still here, hanging on by a thread. I don't know about you guys, but I am here. Here with a little bit of fantasy football talk. You know, the NFL draft is tomorrow, so figured we'd get a little bit into that. I a couple weeks ago was kind of just personally a little interested in going through and ranking all the fantasy teams in my league. So I just kind of did a quick eyeball, you know, little look at it to look and rank them. And I did, and I tiered them out too. And I did not include IDP. I might have included it in these initial ones, but I didn't include it in these ones that I just ran through some metrics myself tonight. So initially on the eyeball test in the first tier at number one, I had AB's Welfare and then myself at two. And then in the next tier, I had Team 8, the Conquistadors, Watson's Dirty Elf, Dong on TDs, and then in the next tier, I had OG Snowbone, Tricky Dicky, Two Mannings, One Cup, London Silly Nannies, and the last tier was Titletown Bearcats and the New York Diversity Hires. So, I guess, well, let's start right here. Elite podcasting. So that was the eyeball test, and then I ran it through some metrics. I went through and I ranked each position, averaged it out, and then ranked everything, you know, blah, 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 blah. And so I'll go through and I'll rank each of these positions here, and I'll go through how I ranked each position and maybe get into why a little bit, and then I'll go through at the end and I'll say what my final pre-draft standings, power rankings, whatever you want to call them are, before we get, you know, into all the fun stuff tomorrow. And then come tomorrow, it's going to be a lot more fun. We're going to be looking at a lot more stuff, and still technically I suppose all these teams will still be the same, but oh man I'm so excited for this NFL draft. I feel like this has been one of the most, like, hyped up NFL drafts in quite some time. It feels like there's a lot of people really excited about this one. Hopefully the talent comes through. Hopefully it shows up for us. So without further ado, we'll go ahead and jump into these rankings. So we'll start with quarterback, you know, most important position on the field. And at number one, I got myself. I don't think there's anyone in this league that can hold a candle to my quarterback room, at all. There's a couple people that are close and that maybe after the draft will definitely be able to. At the current moment, if the season started today, I easily have the top quarterback room. My quarterbacks are Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, and Kirk Cousins. That's three top 10 quarterbacks, right there. And those are just my three starting. I also have Jimmy Garoppolo and Will Levis as well. So I've got multiple ages there, you know, and it is a dynasty league. It's not a redraft. It's a dynasty league. So you have to consider, you know, the ages and stuff. And I just feel like I got two guys like right in their young beginning of their prime like age. And I got Kirk Cousins, who's balling out at a young age. Will Levis, my young rookie, and Jimmy Garoppolo, who's, you know, he's taking steroids, but, you know, hopefully he gets a chance to play some games. But I hope he doesn't, because I like Matt Stafford. And for Garoppolo to play this year, that'd probably mean Stafford being hurt, and that's not what I want to see. So maybe next year. But, I just don't think anyone compares. At number two, I have AB's Welfare. Before we go farther into this, I do want to say that depth is a big thing for me when I'm ranking these teams, because you could make a really good argument. What do I have him ranked at right here? I have Brady, London Silly Nannies ranked at 4 on for quarterback here. Just a little spoiler alert, I guess. But you could very easily make a very strong case for... I really don't think it's the case for number one. I think I've got it by a long shot. But I think you can make a very solid case for two. But at 2, I am going to go with AB's welfare. He's got Josh Allen, Anthony Richardson, and Baker Mayfield. Josh Allen, I don't need to say anything about that. Obviously, we all know about Josh Allen and fantasy football beast. Anthony Richardson, let me look at this game log real quick before he got hurt. I know he was balling out, and I think he's going to continue to ball out. 34, 21, 40. And then there's the game where he got hurt and only played 33% of the snaps. And actually, this that game where he had the 21, he only played 32% of the snaps. So, he's going to be a fantasy machine right there. And that's going to be nice for a long time, probably. Baker Mayfield, very solid quarterback 3, especially coming off last year. I think you feel really confident with him as your quarterback 3, and I like that a lot. Coming back with all the same weapons. Mike Evans is back. Chris Godwin's back. Kate Otten's back. I don't know much about what's going on with their offensive line this year. If they've lost guys, if they've added guys there. But as of right now, I would say personally, I like Baker Mayfield as a 3. That's not bad. Number 3 that I have ranked at quarterback is kind of a sneaky one. Maybe not so much because he has Patrick Mahomes, but it's Watson's dirty elf. Of course, Patrick Mahomes there, that's QB1 for him. But he's got Jordan Love, who honestly, maybe this isn't a hot take, but I really kind of... He's been in the league for... This is be his 5th year? Wow, that's crazy. I thought it was going to be like his 4th or 3rd. Wow, gosh. I don't think he'd been around that long. Okay. But yeah, looking at his fantasy numbers here, and especially please keep in mind, this is a PPR league, but a lot of these stats are juiced a little bit. There's bonuses for first downs, for big plays. Quarterback completion percentage has, things to do with it. Jordan Love has a really nice looking game log here. Mostly over like 28 fantasy points per game, which is really solid in our league. And he's hitting 30, hitting 40 quite a bit in there too. So I really like that. That's obviously, you don't got to say anything about Mahomes. You know he's going to be there and you know he's going to ball one way or the other. But Jordan Love, I really like that one. Yeah. And then he's also got Gardner Minshew, who right now, unless the Raiders are drafting a quarterback, I say he's probably their starter. I don't think it's going to be Aiden O'Connell. If Aiden O'Connell is their starter all year next year, I need to adjust these rankings. Probably mostly for Tree J, but also for the Aiden O'Connell owner, which we will get into down the road. Coming in at 4, already said it's Brady. His quarterbacks are Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott, and that's it. Honestly, if he had a third quarterback, I don't know why I'm burping so much here. If he had a third quarterback, just a starter, it doesn't even really matter who. It could be a very low-end starter, as long as it's a starting quarterback and a guy that's going to be there. I'm trying to think of a good example here. I kind of want to say Jared Goff, who has had a couple decent fantasy years, but let's be real, like, do you want him as your QB1 on your dynasty team? No. But like a QB3? Yeah, I like Jared Goff as my QB3. Maybe a QB2 if I'm on an RB wide receiver IDP build. But definitely not in this league. But man, the 1-2 punch right there, I don't think any... I'm the only one that can compete with that, and he might have me there. Like, Dak and Burrow, that's... I'm going to call that a wash right there when Burrow's healthy and balling. Like, I think it's probably looking like what Dak was doing last year. So I'll call that there. But, I mean, are you taking Kyler? Are you taking Lamar? Man, honestly. Yeah, it's probably a hot take, and maybe I'm stupid, but I'm taking Kyler. He throws the ball better. He's got the way, easily the way better arm talent, and he can scramble too. And he's about to have way better weapons. So I'll actually take Kyler still in that situation. Yeah, but man, the Lamar-Dak Prescott combo is absolutely filthy. And just, it is so nice. And if he can add, like, if he can draft a good fantasy quarterback this year, like, let's say Drake May, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, even J.J. McCarthy, whoever, Michael Penix, whoever he should end up with. I don't think he's drafting Michael Penix, so. Whoever it is, let's say they hit. Maybe he drafts two quarterbacks, one of them hits and one of them's okay. He's easily the number two quarterback room there. If he's got one guy that's starting, yeah, he's easily the number two. So he is number four for right now, though, just for the lack of depth. Because I did mention that is important. Moving on to number five, that is DL. We're going to go ahead and call it DLT, actually, because that's what I have it labeled as on here. So that's what I read. So for DLT, the quarterbacks there, kind of a sneaky one. And maybe this is, again, you know, maybe a hot take. And maybe I'm just trying to sound smart or try to outthink or overthink or something like that. But I can't say I really like this room. But we're really past the rooms that I, like, really like. And I think this room is just, of all the solid rooms, just the most solid. Especially for this coming year. And that's Matt Stafford, Deshaun Watson, and Sam Darnold. Matt Stafford and Watson, that's really nice. And, you know, we're doing this pre-draft. So we're assuming that this is the starting roster and that you were fielding this roster today. And if that were the case, Sam Darnold's got a legitimate shot to compete for that starting spot against Nick Mullins, and I would actually really love to see him do that. So I would go with that one right there. Matt Stafford, Watson, and Darnold. Stafford old, had a good fantasy year though last year, still got the weapons, you know, got Puka, got Kupp, his boy Tyler Higbee still there. I think they found another tight end they kind of like a little bit last year. Sean McVay, you got a great coach. Yeah, I'm not worried about, you know, do I think Stafford's going to be elite? I don't think there's an elite quarterback on this team, but I think he's got two really solid fantasy quarterback options, like good value options, and then a potential, like, real sneaky good option if the Vikings aren't able to get a deal done, like, say, they're, you know, from what I was heard just a little bit ago, it sounds like they're going to want, New England's going to want three first-rounders to give up the number three to Minnesota. Does Minnesota want to cough up all that? You know, that's a lot to ask for. I think if you're Minnesota, you kind of have to, because with Justin Jefferson and everything, you don't want to, you got to keep, because you don't want to lose him, otherwise you're back to square one, essentially, because Jordan Addison's real nice, and I'm a fantasy owner of him, so that boy's a baller. But that doesn't mean, you know, like, that doesn't mean he's going to be a Justin Jefferson, a true number one level receiver. Like, he's going to be probably a borderline, I would say, I feel pretty confident in saying he'll be a borderline, like, number one, like, on the field receiver. I'm not talking about fantasy, as far as that goes, but, I'm rambling now. yeah, I like that quarterback room. Going number six, we got OG Snowbone. His quarterbacks are Trevor Lawrence, Jared Goff, Trey Lance, and Bryce Young. So looking here, you know, I was just talking about Jared Goff. And right here, he is a QB2 build, but this is definitely a wide receiver heavy team. We'll get into that. Are we going to go with that tonight? Yeah, we'll try to get that done tonight as well.
we'll try to get into the wide receivers. I need to speed it up, man, but OG Snowbones quarterbacks are Lawrence, Goff, Young. I don't mind that room. Trevor Lawrence, I'd rather him be a QB2. I think he's a great QB2, a low-end number one in our Superflex dynasty. Goff, I think low-end two, high-end number three. Bryce Young, I think, has the chance to ascend to like a high-end number three option. He was kind of a low-end number three Superflex option last year, which sucks. But, you know, he was in a terrible, terrible, terrible situation. Limited weapons, terrible offensive line, and they've addressed both. The coaching, I don't know. You can say that's good or that's bad, you know, because you can make the argument that switching coaches so soon in a kid's career can have, you know, not good effects, but it is what it is, I guess, as far as that goes. Number seven in this list for quarterbacks, we got two Mannings, one Cup. His quarterbacks are Tommy DeVito, Aaron Rodgers, and C.J. Stroud. Aaron Rodgers, that's, you know, I think that depends on who you are. I feel like he's going to at minimum be a low-end number two quarterback this year. I think he's probably going to be a mid to high-end number two as far as like a super flex league. C.J. Stroud, clearly that's QB1 fantasy-wise, for sure. No doubt about it. Nolan, if he can get like maybe a J.J. McArthur, get a nice QB in the draft, could be sitting pretty nice there at the quarterback position with Stroud and potentially a nice rookie going forward. At number eight for quarterbacks, we got the Titletown Bearcats. So here, another situation, not a ton of depth. We only got two quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, now obviously he's not the reason that this is towards the lower, because Jalen Hurts is a baller. If you've been listening to the ZBR for a while, the Zebra, the C Skidley, sheesh, you can tell I'm tired. Then, you know, I've been real tired on Hurts, or real high on Hurts. Jeez, I am tired. Real high on Hurts, and that Reed kind of, he's stolen from me. Yeah, I'm going to say he's stolen from me in the draft. I'm going to say he did that. He did that. On record, he stole him from me in the draft. On record. But he's got Jalen Hurts and Aiden O'Connell. Now, this is the other team I was mentioning when I was talking about Gardner Minshew earlier, of course, with Aiden O'Connell being the backup there this year. But, you know, if he's the starter, that probably elevates, and I said if he's the starter all year, that probably elevates Reed's roster here from, like, number eight. I would say probably, I would probably definitely, I would maybe go ahead DLT. What's, am I going ahead? Oh, no, that's looking at the wrong one. And I'm probably going ahead two Mannings, one Cup as well. So that one's a little subject to change right there. Number nine for quarterback, we got OG Snowbone. His quarterbacks are Trevor Lawrence. No. Where are we at? Okay, so I was at number 10. Okay. So he had a chance to move up to eight as well. Okay. Sheesh, I do not need to be doing this twice. Number 10. Where am I? Okay, all right, sorry, there's so many numbers on the screen. And I went to school in Central Kansas, so forgive me. Public school in Central Kansas, so forgive me, I'm not that smart. Number 11, we got Tricky Dicky on the quarterback situation. His quarterback, the one thing I do like about it is that he guaranteed has the Steelers starting situation locked up. So he guaranteed has it, and probably the best handcuff situation in the league, potentially. Like, if Russell Wilson were to get hurt or suck ass, he's got A, the handcuff for him, so he doesn't have to totally sweat it, and B, potentially it could be a great option for him with Fields there. So I don't dislike that. And I wouldn't mind it if Russell Wilson was like my two or my three, and then Fields was like three or four. But with that being like, I guess, one and two, I don't know, that's not good. Then he's got Joshua Dobbs and Jake Browning. I pray Jake Browning doesn't play this year and is completely valueless and probably not even on a roster by the end of this year. If he is at all, it would probably be mine for handcuffed situations, but I don't even know that I would do that. Now, as far as Josh Dobbs go, I'm not at all hoping for an injury to Brock Purdy or for anything bad to happen. But something's going to happen where Josh Dobbs plays at least two games in San Francisco, and I will go on record with that too. That dude is starting at least two games for San Francisco, so I'll say he plays in three. Plays in four. Scratch that. He plays in four games, and he starts two. Put that on record. I'm going to tweet it out right now on the ZBR account. We're going to go live. But and then going 12 on the quarterback situation as I get this tweeted out. What was it? Okay, Josh Dobbs. Josh Dobbs. If I can freaking type. We'll start two games and play in four for San Francisco this year. All right, on record, times two. But going over here to Ty, or the diversity hires, I should say. He's friend of the show. He's been on. So going over here to Ty and his team, we got Geno Smith, Daniel Jones, and Sam Howell. So as of right now, he's got two starters. Should the Giants draft a quarterback? I don't think they will, because financially it doesn't make sense. If I were them, I'm going to go ahead draft some weapons. Yeah, Daniel Jones hasn't looked that great throughout, you know, his career. You also haven't given him shit for weapons. He's had Saquon Barkley. He's had a running back. Like, a position that plays a position that's been so devalued that, like, it, yeah. Like, bro hasn't had much. Like, who's he had? Darius Slayton. I want to say Sterling Shepard, but bro was never on the field. And that's coming from a Sterling Shepard supporter. Like, I'm pretty sure I signed him at one point in this league. I might have drafted him, actually. Like, I don't think I've ever played in a league where I've not drafted Sterling Shepard. Now, for clarification, I didn't play for like the year or two before last year, so I wasn't drafting him in leagues before that. But the years, like two or three years before that, you bet your bottom dollar, if I was drafting, I was getting Sterling Shepard. Believe that. But the dude just couldn't stay healthy, and it's a damn shame, because he was a fantasy beast and one of my favorite fantasy players to have on a roster. But yeah, just sorry, Ty, but just a terrible quarterback situation going on there. But at least, kind of like the thing with Tricky Dicky, you got the handcuff, and you got another really good handcuff. Maybe the, like, second most talented handcuff in the league with Sam Howell there in Seattle. And actually, he might even beat Geno out for the job. That's going to be kind of interesting to see, actually, the more you think about it, to see what happens there. But either way, you know, he's got the Seattle quarterback, which isn't a bad option. That's a good QB2 option. And he's got Daniel Jones, which I may or may not be interested in trading for. We'll get into that come HDP draft day. But to Daniel Jones may or may not be a Toronto taint stain come the start or even the end of this next season. Just saying. Okay. So, moving forward, I want to say swiftly, but that's probably not going to happen. ranking running backs, and I just want to say, we're going through here, ranking these positions, I really was not trying to suck my own dick here, but I really think my team is really good, and I'm kind of sounding like Reed now. Reed early last year, like circa like week 5, 6, when he was undefeated, and he still had both his healthy quarterbacks. Yeah. But number one, I got myself number one at running back. Running back situation is Kyren Williams, Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker, Roschon Johnson, Rico Dowdle, Deion Jackson. I should have said Chuba Hubbard before those two guys, because he's another one of my favorite fantasy players to draft over pretty much my entire fantasy career. And then Amari DiMarcado. I mean, two fantasy RB1s right there, you know, and Kyren and Breece. You know, two, you know, tier one running backs, and then, you know, got a tier two running back in Kenneth Walker, to, you know, maybe do some flex or, you know, fill in on bye weeks or some injury stuff. And then, you know, should something be going wrong with, you know, maybe a couple of them, I got Chuba Hubbard to step in there. His workload just got bigger and bigger throughout the year as, you know, Carolina kind of realized they messed up with, Miles Sanders. The new coaching staff and coordinator, I know they're big on Chuba Hubbard. Like, they're just big on Chuba there in Carolina, and I think he gets a lot of work this year. It'll still be a split, but I think probably like 60-65% in favor of Chuba, which I'll take from my RB4, especially. Yeah, I think he'll make good use of it. Because he's a good pass catcher, or a decent pass catcher. Good might be a reach there. Moving on to two in the running backs, we got AB's Welfare, another really strong group. I got that right? Yeah, another really strong group here. Just so deep. No homo. But he's got Jahmyr Gibbs, Rashad White, J.K. Dobbins, Khalil Herbert, Damian Pierce, Jerome Ford, Tank Bigsby, Devon Achane, Tajay Spears, and Zach Charbonnet. Need to go ahead and mark the interest on Charbonnet, because I definitely still want to try to get him, having Walker and all. But, yeah, it's just such a deep group. And honestly, I do like Jahmyr Gibbs as like a star running back. It's really just David Montgomery that's in the way. I really do like that. And I've been high on White. I don't know. He's not a good runner. He's a good pass catcher, and I feel confident in saying that. But I don't know how high I'll be on him this year. Honestly, I don't really have a good reason. I'm just getting bad vibes from Rashad White for going into this 2024 season. So, yeah, I'm down on him. Just strictly off vibes. Pure vibes. Excuse me. I was looking at the... I knew that was off. I knew he shouldn't have been number two. He was number four. So, we'll skip when we get to it. Number two. That's who I thought was number two. I was like, okay, that's weird. But, okay, so number two on the running back rankings is the New York Diversity Hires. My guy, Ty. He's got Bijan Robinson, David Montgomery, who I was just mentioning. Him and Jahmyr Gibbs find a way to coexist and just be really good together. And he's just a beast. And then he's got Josh Jacobs. And then Chase Brown, too, of the Bengals, who, I mean, young guy has year in there. They're probably going to go heavy with Zach Moss at least early, but if they decide they like Chase Brown, he could have a nice, like, that four-man backfield right there could be absolutely nasty and something he could really build around, which he could use to, you know, work on that while he does quarterback and receiver stuff. But moving on with these running backs at number three, Ski, we got DLT. DLT. Now, this is a shallow group. It's very top-heavy. But, man, McCaffrey and Barkley right there. That right there. That's the top-heavy part right there. And then it's A.J. Dillon, Samaje Perine, and Kendre Miller. Which, between the three of those, you can probably find a decent number three back from week to week. And who knows, you know, I feel like Josh Jacobs kind of has a history with maybe not missing a ton of games, but missing like a game here or there. I don't know. Maybe I'm tweaking on that. But you know, Green Bay likes AJ Dillon, so I don't hate that there. Number four, running back, that's AB's welfare. We already went through his roster, so we'll skip through there. DOT comes in at five. That is dong on titties. Carson, a friend of the show. He's got DeAndre Swift, Joe Mixon, Derrick Henry, Aaron Jones, Jaleel McLaughlin, Dalvin Cook. I can't believe that dude's still on a roster. Cam Akers and Zamir White. Oh, wow. You know what? Pause. Major pause. Wow. I don't know if I noticed Zamir White down there when I was ranking this. Okay, major pause. Hold up. Because they definitely like him. He's definitely RB1 there in Oakland this year. They like him. Aaron Jones should be pretty good for Minnesota. You like to think Derrick Henry's going to be nice. Joe Mixon, he could be splitting some time with Damian Pierce. You know what? I'm going to move him up to three. And I'm going to go DST down to four. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And so then at five. Or no, that was five. So I'm going to move DLT down to five. Okay, so at number six, we got Watson's Dirty Elf. Okay. So for Watson's Dirty Elf, his running backs are Raheem Mostert. Oh, is that the right team? There's not a chance. Not a chance. That's what I have. I got to be reading that wrong. Okay, I am, and I was. Okay, number six is the Conquistador. Sorry about all this great podcasting you guys are, I'm exposing you to here, because I'm just doing a fantastic job here. number six, the Conquistadors. We got Alvin Kamara, Justice Hill, Deneric Prince. I had to look up his first name. I didn't know that. Deneric Prince. Did he even play it all last year? Oh, my gosh. No, he didn't. Of course, the Conquistadors is a very devout Chiefs fan, and his fantasy teams usually represent that. You cannot knock that dude's dedication. Then he's got Jerick McKinnon, of course. Nick Chubb, who I like as a sleeper this year, if he qualifies as a sleeper. Zach Moss, who should be real nice. And then Elijah Mitchell, who, you know, you never want a guy like McCaffrey to get hurt, but should he, that could be a really nice handcuff there. Moving in at seven on running back, we got the London Silly Nannies, Brady, the B of the Zebra. His RB1 is James Conner. And then he's got Ramondre Stevenson, Jalen Warren, Antonio Gibson. He's got that New England backfield on lock, which I kind of like, especially with a good chance of a young quarterback or just Jacoby Brissett back there this year. That could be very, very nice, having that backfield on lock. That could be a good one to have on lock. Dwayne McBride was looking better before Aaron Jones was a Viking, but obviously with them signing him, and how much they obviously like Ty Chandler enough. Probably don't like him too much. They still got Myles Gaskin on the roster too. Wow. Yeah, so probably not a lot going on there. It's got the good depth. And, you know, every year I want to say, James Conner can't be an RB1. And then he puts up RB1 numbers. And it's like, if the dude can stay healthy, he puts up borderline RB1 numbers, high-end RB2, low-end RB1 numbers. So that could be really nice. If he can add a running back in the draft, that could be a pretty decent running back room. Moving in at number eight on the running backs is the Titletown Bearcats. This is where it really started to get hard, because I just don't like any of these running back groups at all. Here we got James Cook and Devin Singletary. I don't trust Devin Singletary for shit. I don't know why. I reviewed his game logs the other night and looked at it, and I was like, damn, he's actually been pretty solid, you know, each year. I don't know what, I don't trust him. Maybe it's because he's going to the Giants. But then again, if I'm saying that, why am I high on Deion Jackson, and why do I think he's going to have a nice role there? Yeah, he's probably just a roster filler at this space. All right. But so, and then after that, he's got Keaton Mitchell, Kenneth Gainwell. Is it Chris? Yeah, it's Chris Rodriguez, who actually I like a lot. I think he could potentially have a really good opportunity to get some. That's right. Austin Eckler showed up. Never mind. They got Brian Robinson still. So yeah, scratch that. Man, Chris Rodriguez was actually kind of why I didn't put him like 9 or 10. You know what? For the sake of time, we're going to go ahead and leave him right there at that spot and go ahead and keep Tricky Dicky here at number 9. And next up, he's got Jonathan Taylor, Isaiah Pacheco. Nice 1-2 punch right there. Actually, probably an underrated 1-2 punch right there. I'm actually going to go ahead and swap him and Titletown around real quick. But he's got Tricky Dicky does have Ty Chandler. Is it Eric? Yeah, Eric Gray and Tyler Allgeier and Sean Tucker. Sean Tucker's not a bad handcuff to have, even though that would probably end up in committee. Tyler Allgeier, elite running back handcuff. As if we're talking just like handcuff level, that's an elite level handcuff in my mind. Yeah, Ty Chandler, that's probably a really solid handcuff too, and actually probably not a bad player to have as a handcuff, knowing Aaron Jones' injury history. I feel like he's been injured a few times. You know, he's getting up there, coming off an injury. So yeah, I'll definitely go ahead and move him up against Title or ahead of Title Town. So at number 11 for running backs. Let's go to two Mannings, one Cups here. It's not plural. Yeah, we'll go ahead and keep him where he's at, and we'll keep Reed where he's at. Right here we got Tony Pollard, Miles Sanders, yeah. Travis Etienne, Ezekiel Elliott, and Deontay. Just not a very exciting group. I like Travis Etienne. I really like him as like a solid RB2. But man, I don't think Tony Pollard's going to be very good in Tennessee. I think he probably was smart and went and got paid while he could. Even if he's not terrible, it's probably going to be a pretty even split there in Tennessee with him and Tajay Spears. You know, Tajay Spears played well enough last year to earn that role. Seems like they like him enough in Tennessee. Not a good situation there. And rounding it out at 12 for running backs is OG Snowbone. And his running backs would be Javonte Williams, Najee Harris, Kareem Hunt, Jamal Williams, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and Zach Evans. Javonte Williams, probably his RB1 here. Najee, who had the better year last year? Let's look at that real quick, because I am kind of curious. Najee, not terrible, a little inconsistent, kind of got off to a rough start. Let's see, Javonte, kind of got off to a rough start, then kind of bounced back, but was a little inconsistent. No real RB1 there. Couple of okay RB2s that are in heavy timeshares. And then a guy is... Did Kareem Hunt... Did he get re-signed? Last I saw, like, Cleveland was kind of sick of his shit again, and he was back out the door. Jamal Williams, they like him, I think, in New Orleans, and he could be a good handcuff. Which, you know, once you start getting these lower-tier running back groups, that's what you kind of have to hope for is... Having a good handcuff like Zach Evans there, then they pick up another. Okay, no, they got it's him and Ronnie Rivers. So that's a good handcuff to have, but just not a good running back room there. Wide receivers time. Okay, so wide receivers. Didn't rank myself number 1 on this one. Number 2. but number one, AB's welfare, just absolutely loaded here. Man, absolutely loaded here. And I wanted to go one again. I did, but I couldn't. Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua, Marquise Brown, you know, going to play with Pat Mahomes. I think he's going to ball out. I have really high expectations there, especially those first few weeks when Rashee Rice is inevitably suspended. Oh, yeah. Michael Pittman, Jalen Water, Trey Tucker, who I think might be a nice wide receiver three in Las Vegas this year. Michael Wilson, Christian Kirk. Does he really have Christian Kirk too? Holy shit. Cortland Sutton and Jahan Dotson. I'm sorry. Nobody's competing with that. And I don't think that even if I'm able to draft like a Marvin Harrison with the number two pick in this draft, as high as I am on my receiver group, I still don't know if I compete with that. I still don't know if I compete with that. I think I already have a good receiver group. And I'm not committed to it, but heavily interested in adding Marvin Harrison Jr. into this group of CeeDee Lamb, Garrett Wilson, Jordan Addison, Khalil Shakir, Rashid Shaheed, who I mentioned especially because he's probably wide receiver too. Hey, Gracie, you hear him yelling at me out there. At least you probably do. But I mentioned Rashid Shaheed because receiving yards count in this league. They already did. And that role, if he's still going to return and be wide receiver two, or hell, even be wide receiver two to eight or three, excuse me, to A.T. Perry, who might maybe he takes the step and becomes two, which I know Reed would love. Even if that happens, and he's only getting, you know, two, three catches a game, he's a big play receiver. That's probably going to be, you know, at least 20 yards right there. So you're getting 5 points right there. He's probably going to generate a good, I'm projecting, and this could be way off, and I actually should probably definitely, I haven't done any research on this. I'm totally guessing here. I should probably look into watching, you know, this kickoff in effect, you know, and I forget what league they're barring. I think it's the XFL they're bringing it in from. I think it's that model. Should probably watch that a little bit and see it and try to project that way. But I think another 5 to 10 points a week, you know, just from return yards from Shaheed. So if he is a wide receiver two there to what I think is an overrated Olave, so maybe, you know, I'm not even going to get into all that, actually. Maybe he's wide receiver two. Then he stands a chance just off the receiving yards alone. He was a top 25 receiver in our league to end the year last year. And he was a top 20 receiver for most of the year until he got hurt. And then he no longer was. But until then, he was. And then I also have Kendrick Bourne, who I think is going to ball this year. Parker Washington, who might get a shot at some more time. Charlie Jones and Xavier Gipson over there on the taxi squad. Justin Shorter and Marvin Mims over on the taxi squad. And then I also got my boy DeMario Douglas, who I got some high hopes for this year, especially if we're able to get a good quarterback in there. That would be great for him and Bourne. Okay, now that I'm done sucking my own dick on my receivers, we can move on to number three, who is OG Snowbone, who was probably number one on this last year when you consider suspensions and just some age and trades. I did move him down a little bit. So his group is Justin Jefferson, Stephon Diggs, Davante Adams, Rashee Rice, Jameson Williams, Jonathan Mingo, Josh Downs, and Quentin Johnston. Now that's a really good group. If Johnston's able to take a step forward this year, which is totally possible, a lot of people are quick to say he was a bust, but his own team was saying he wasn't even ready last year. You know, before they got him out there, they were saying this is earlier than we'd like to get him out there. So I don't want to call him a bust yet, because his own team was saying he's not ready yet. So Jonathan Mingo, you know, maybe Bryce Young takes a little step forward. Maybe he takes a little step forward. That could be a really nice group. Rashee Rice, I actually really liked up until the suspension and the Marquise Brown signing. And I still like a lot. I don't think it kills his fantasy value, but I think it brings it down a lot. I think he went from... I thought he had a chance to maybe be like a top 10 fantasy receiver this year, to compete, to be within that, like, within that round. Maybe not like guaranteed, but within that, I don't know. You get what I'm saying. But that's, especially with missing the games, that's not happening this year. And you add in, they bring in Marquise Brown, who I think is going to be really, really good there, and which is sad to say. But yeah, and then you got the big name guys. Obviously Jefferson, that speaks for itself. Diggs, though, you know, going to a big group. Gracie's back out there meowing. Diggs going to a very crowded group there. And then you got Devontae Adams too, getting older. I like Gardner Minshew and I'm big on him, but is that QB1 next year? Like, that's not the greatest quarterback situation. And I'm not sold on Antonio Pierce as a coach. I'd like to see it for another year. So we'll see how that goes. I know a lot of people are real high there. And he hasn't done anything to make me not buy into him. I just haven't bought into it. For me, like, you just don't buy into a coach right away unless they outright prove it. Like, do some Sean McVay type shit. Like, turn the Rams around in a season. Like, type shit. But moving forward with these wide receivers... At number 4, we got 2 Mannings, 1 Cup right here, right? Yes. Let me make sure I'm reading these numbers right. We got 2 Mannings, 1 Cup. He has got Deontay Johnson, Adam Thielen, Tyreek Hill, Robert Woods, Odell Beckham, Mike Williams, Curtis Samuel, and Ja'Marr Chase. Obviously, you got Hill and Chase, so that's nice. And then he's just got some nice depth pieces in a 3-receiver league, especially Curtis Samuel going to Buffalo now. That, I feel like, is going to boost his value, which sucks for me being a Shakir owner. I was really hoping Shakir would be the clear-cut, undisputed number one. Josh Allen, you have no other options other than Dalton Kincaid type kind of thing. But Curtis Samuel's a legit dude who's probably going to have a pretty good fantasy season there. So he'll be a nice 3, and then you got a few guys to shuffle out there at the 3 as well. Deontay Johnson should be, if Bryce Young's able to take a step forward, you'd like to think that really helps his receiver room with Johnson and Thielen. But that's a big if right there. I didn't base the rankings too much on that. But yeah. Moving forward, number 5, we got Dong on TDs. His group, pretty solid group here again. I wouldn't mind this as my group. He's got AJ Brown, excuse me, Antonio. I almost said Antonio Brown. Yeah, I just see A Brown, and that's what I almost said. AJ Brown, Brandon Ayuk, Keenan Allen, Darius Davis, Jake Bobo, Tyler Boyd, Greg Dortch, and Jerry Jeudy. You got Jerry Jeudy. Pretty solid group there. I don't know how much I like Keenan Allen this year going to Chicago. West Coast dude going to Chicago to play football and stuff with a rookie quarterback in a new system. I don't know. I don't know. Sounds kind of sketch. And plus, he's got DJ Moore there. Yeah. So, there is that. Alright guys, I ended up tapping out last night before doing the tight ends. Actually, I did it, and it was terrible. I was stuttering all over the place. And honestly, I had to redo my rankings because going through them, I even said to myself, I was like, these aren't right. These rankings aren't very good. So I redid them a little bit. They're probably still not very good, but if you've made it this far, I doubt you're expecting anything less. So without wasting too much more time, because I still got to go to work here, go ahead and jump into these tight ends. Number 1 tight end room in the group, I am going with Dong on TDs. He's just got 2 really quality starters, Evan Engram and Jake Ferguson. Evan Engram,
you know, especially with Calvin Ridley gone, probably just going to see even more targets there in Jacksonville. He's basically a receiver. Lord knows he's not blocking. He's a solid tight end one. He's a good bargain tight end one. And then Jake Ferguson is a great tight end too, a great backup to have for bye weeks or injuries. Really solid, consistent. You know there's going to be passing in that Dallas offense and that the tight end is going to be, you know, at least 4 or 5 targets a game more than likely. You know, maybe a 3-target game or here and there. For those 3-target games, you'll also have, you know, a 6 or 7 target game. I'm going with him at number one. At number two, I'm going with the Conquistadors. He's definitely got the big name group here. He's got Travis Kelce, George Kittle, and Luke Schoenmaker is tight end 3, who I kind of like because, you know, if something happens to both those guys, they're both not performing well, you know, at least you got the young guy you could hope for. In my mind, I see Dallas probably, you know, cutting a lot of corners financially, especially after that Amon-Ra Brown contract in Detroit. Now they're going to have to pay C.D. Lamb even more money. I saw a meme last night. I think Brady actually, or Reed, sent it to the group. I'm not sure which one. And it was, it was the Vikings, the Cowboys, and one other team with a stud receiver seeing Amon's contract, St. Brown's contract, and being like, shit, now we're going to have to pay these guys so much more money. Oh my gosh. It just keeps getting worse. Yeah, meanwhile, running backs. I like his tight end group. That's pretty solid. He's going to find production one way or the other in that group. Number three, really, really did it to myself on this one. Put myself all the way down in third as opposed to first or second. only kind of kidding there, but I do like my tight end group too. Trey McBride is my tight end one. I really like that going into next year. I think he's going to have a really good year. I guess technically Kate Otten would be my tight end too right now because Tucker Kraft is still on my taxi, but, Tucker Kraft I like as a tight end three. I think probably going to split a decent amount of time with Luke Musgrave this year. So I like that. And then Kate Otten, he's just on the field so much and he really shined, you know, late in the year last year. And so I'm really hoping, you know, Mike Evans getting a little older. Obviously they paid him a bunch of money, so they obviously still think he can perform at a certain level, and sure, part of that's probably to get him to retire a buck, but I like my tight end group. Going to number four, we got DLT, right? Let me double check this. Elite Podcasting. Yes, DLT. So his tight end group, I low-key like a lot too. And really, if Gerald Everett hadn't gone to Chicago, I would probably definitely be ranking it higher than mine. I probably actually should still be. This should probably be the number three. I'm going to actually go ahead and make that official right now. I'll move this to three and put myself at four in tight ends, making it official right now in the rankings. There you go. You got Tyler Higbee, Dallas Goedert, Cole Kmet. That's just a really solid group. You know Dallas Goedert's going to be a consistent tight end. Same with Tyler Higbee. And then you got your young guy in Cole Kmet. And if Gerald Everett, I've never been high on Gerald Everett, so I could easily see him, especially now he's out of L.A., not getting used so much there in Chicago. We'll see. Obviously, Chicago is basically just a San Diego, Los Angeles, whatever. They're still San Diego. They'll always be the San Diego Chargers to me. Obviously not what they do there. Backtrack. What was I saying? Cole Kmet. And Gerald Everett. Yeah. Obviously, it's basically San Diego, and he's used to doing there's going to be some familiarity there because Chicago's just become San Diego Jr. Sheesh, really stumbled over that one. But Cole Kmet's really good. And I think now I'm thinking about it, it's Chicago, and he's really good. So they're gonna piss him away. He's gonna be that's definitely what's gonna happen. Chicago's gonna piss him away. This whole setup they've all done is gonna go sour. Cole Kmet's gonna go somewhere else on his next contract. I would guess it's probably up. How many years has he been in the league? 4? It's probably up after this year. I bet he goes to another team and balls out in the future. Oh, yeah. And hopefully, the Chicago Bears hater in me would love to see that. So, going on to number five, we got Titletown Bearcats. Now, here, this is kind of a top-heavy thing. I don't know. Maybe he's only got two tight ends. One's Sam Laporta, and that's what keeps him in the top five, is obviously, don't need to explain that. Sam Laporta is him. And then Brevin Jordan, who I kind of like. I would probably more prefer him to be like a tight end three. Let me go back and look at this game log from last year again. Yeah, I mean, he had his moments. I think that Schultz was hurt. I don't know. I wouldn't mind him as a tight end three. But as a tight end two, I don't really like that. But I still think it's better than some of the others. I might even actually end up sliding Titletown here down a little bit. At number six, we're going Tricky Dicky. And actually, you know, I'll go ahead and I'll move Tricky Dicky up here. I'll move him up one more time. This tight end group has been really difficult for me to rank. Really been struggling with it. So yeah, let's go making that official real quick. Okay. So here we got Mark Andrews, Isaiah Likely. So he's got the Baltimore tight end on lock. If something happens to one of them, he's good to go. He's good to go there at tight end one, I feel like. Because if Mark Andrews gets hurt, you know Isaiah Likely stepping right in. You could make the case that there's going to be, you know, a problem with splits there, but the lack of receiving talent there, you know, with them splitting, I think is going to be just fine. Mark Andrews can block a little bit. Isaiah Likely, I think you can keep them both on the field without much trouble, especially with a guy like Lamar. And then you add in a Derrick Henry, too. Yeah, I think the two tight end set actually makes a lot of sense when you really think about it. So definitely like that. And then his, I guess, backup tight end two or tight end three, however you want to look at it, would be Chig Okonkwo. Not, you know, obviously not who you want to be throwing out there. But, I mean, as a tight end three, I'm taking that. He's a starter for, like, a NFL team. Maybe not. He's obviously not a fantasy starter. But, you know, he's, yeah, an NFL starter. Going to be on the field. Going to get, you know, like, looking at his game log here, on the field for at least, for the most part, about, we'll call it, like, 65% of the snaps or more. A couple of these games here, they're a little lower. I think he had a little bit of injury stuff going last year. But, I don't hate that. But for a tight end three, I don't hate that. So tight end six, I guess we are, yeah. So tight end seven would be London Silly Nannies, Brady, the B. Tyler Conklin and TJ Hawkinson. TJ Hawkinson, about to miss a bunch of time. Kind of a late bloomer. We'll see how he does coming back from injury. Honestly, I kind of have low hopes for him. Well, I mean, high hopes for him, like, as a person. Like, I mean, you know, I hope he bounces back and he can play well. That's cool. We need more tight ends. But just realistically, I have a lot of questions there with TJ Hawkinson, especially with new quarterback. You know, just added a better pass-catching running back into the mix. You know, Jordan Addison's a year better. Justin Jefferson is that dude. So we'll see. Kirk Cousins isn't there to throw, you know, to complete 44 of 50 something passes or what, or whatever, you know, type stuff. That's probably not happening. So I have questions there. Tyler Conklin, I would prefer to be like a tight end three, but I think he's a low end tight end two fantasy wise. Like, looking at last year, like, he almost has a low floor. There's just too many of these, you know, there's a zero in there, there's a six, a one, a couple of threes, there's a five. It's just, you know, and then a seven and an eight, which is where, you know, and another six, where you start getting to, like, some of the low floor stuff for, like, a, but there's just not a ton of upside there. Now, you might say Aaron Rodgers coming there, but also, I guess this is pre-draft ranking, so I can't factor in that they might draft, what's his nuts, Brock Bowers. But, yeah, I don't know. would not mind. I would actually love him as a tight end three. I would feel really confident if he was my tight end three, and I liked my tight end one and two. I would love that. But I just wouldn't want him for my two. Going at eight, Watson's Dirty Elf. Now, this one, I definitely think a lot of people would probably push back with me here. But so his tight end group is Logan Thomas, David Njoku, and Luke Musgrave. So right now, Luke Musgrave, in my estimation, is about to be in a time split with Tucker Kraft, you know, coming back, because Tucker Kraft definitely earned him some playing time. And as I'm pretty sure I got on about more than once last night, there's a lot of mouths to feed in Green Bay. And so, like, I would prefer him to be probably like a low-end tight end two, high-end tight end three right there. David Njoku. Now, obviously, the talent's there. And I've drafted, you know, Njoku, you know, a time or two in my life. And he had a solid year last year, a good low floor. Like, he had a really good year last year fantasy-wise. Kind of got off to a slow start there with, you know, with Watson. And even still, I wouldn't have hated his production. I don't know if I would have quite wanted him to be tight end one at that point in the year. Going, you know, looking at, like, let's see, where are we? I don't remember when Flacco came and took over. But let's say just even through week 8, he had a 21-point week right there. Before that, he's got 12, almost 6, bye week, 12, 6, just over 6, and almost 5. Like, so obviously he was getting better as the year went on, and obviously he was a lot better with Flacco, and Flacco made all the difference. But Joe Flacco's not going to be there this year. So, I don't know. You see what he does with Watson here, and obviously he has capability of putting up some decent numbers, but it's just not super consistent. And I would probably love him as a tight end too, probably a high-end tight end too, in my opinion. But I wouldn't, not a tight end one, I think, is going to be a reach going into this year. Especially they add Jerry Jeudy, which means they like him. You know, they're probably going to try to get him the ball too. It's still got Amari Cooper there. Amari Cooper is still a Brown, right? Did I hear something about it? Wait, pause. I might be wrong. Am I wrong? Did they trade him? Okay, no, they didn't. I don't know why I thought they might have traded him for a second. But yeah, you still got Amari Cooper. I don't know. And then you go Logan Thomas. He doesn't even have a team right now. So, and he wasn't that great to begin with fantasy-wise last year. He was probably a mid-level to low-end tight end three. So, you know, I don't really, not real high on that group. So moving on to number 9, we're going over to OG Snowbone. This is another one I might get a little pushback on, and that's okay. You got Kyle Pitts and Michael Mayer. Michael Mayer, tight end 3 to me. Unless he takes a step forward this year, I don't see. I think I said yesterday it might have been during the tight end part that I cut, but I do like Gardner Minshew, and I do have some high hopes for him in Oakland, but they are tempered. They're tempered hopes. And you still got Devontae Adams. You still got Jacoby Myers. They're going to need to be fed there. Probably going to run the ball a decent amount. You know, you got the young guys, Zamir White. Yeah, I don't know. I just, that, to me, that's a tight end three. But definitely does have room to step up and be like a high-end tight end too. I would say is probably his ceiling for at least this year anyways. And then Kyle Pitts, man, I was just never high on him. I never got sold on him. I remember when he was getting drafted, how long ago has that been? 3 years. Wow, that's only 3 years. Wow. Gosh, wow. Time really is just, wow. 2020 took for fucking ever. Like, it's so crazy. The time is flying by, but going by so fucking slow. Kyle Pitts has only been in the league 3 years. Going into his third year? Pause. Let me pull that back up. Is he going into his third year? Going into his fourth year. Okay. Okay. All right. That makes a little more sense. Okay. Ah, man. But I've just never been real high on Kyle Pitts. But, you know, he's finally getting a good quarterback, getting out that Dan fucking drawing a blank on his name. Finally getting out of that fucking coach's Arthur. Not, no, that's the owner. Fucking hell. Y'all know who I'm talking about. Gosh, why can't I remember his name? Man, talk about not keeping it about ball. Sheesh. But finally has a new coach to move forward, go forward there. So we'll see, but I'm not sold. It's been long enough. But then again, he is a tight end. I don't know. I'm just not sold. Not sold on Kyle Pitts. Number 10, AB's welfare. It's certainly not like a talent ratio, because the talent to how many tight ends he has is great. He's got – his only tight end is Dalton Kincaid, and I'd love to have Dalton Kincaid and be, you know – is he going to be a tight end one this year? I mean, honestly – actually, yeah, probably. You think about it, Khalil Shakur and Curtis Samuel, and I hope Justin Shorter as well, the three receivers there. Is there going to be a mouth to feed? Yeah, there's going to be a mouth to feed, because his mouth is going to be... Whoa, pause. I'm not going to finish saying what I was about to say. Wow. Glad I caught that. So let's just reword how we were saying all of that. Okay, so Dalton Kincaid, right? Pause. Pause. Dalton Kincaid, obviously, I don't know if I'd be wanting to roll in with him as my tight end one this year. I think he'll be like a low-end tight end one this year. Just because I do think Khalil Shakur is going to take a decent amount of targets. I think Curtis Samuel's going to be... I got some real interest in getting him onto my roster for real. I think he's going to be pretty nice there in Buffalo. I'm real interested to see how that goes. And Justin Shorter, 6'4" rookie last year, didn't get to play at all because of injury. Big body receiver. I don't know a ton of his profile, but I know they like him, and he's a first round draft pick. Big body, so obviously they have some level of thought, like, this guy can be good. And I kind of feel like, you know, maybe a bit of a Gabe Davis replacement, you know, as far as receiving wise, catching the ball. I'm not sure on his profile, like how good he is of run blocking and stuff like that, and what kind of catches he makes. But you tend to think, you know, tall 6'4" receiver, first round draft pick, you think, oh, he's probably gonna go catch a jump ball, win some contested catches, be a deep threat. Yeah, be that deep threat, you know, vertical deep threat. But getting back to Dalton Kincaid here, I guess. Enough talking. Enough gassing up my taxi squad there. Back to Dalton Kincaid. Love to have him, but you got to have the depth there. And he's really going to have to address that now. Whoa. I almost wonder if he trades up and makes and takes a shot at Brock Bowers. Now that kind of inspires me to do a draft prediction episode for HDP, at least a first round prediction. And oh, we're definitely going to do that, actually. I wonder if he moves up and just takes Brock Bowers, and then he's just got two young tight ends to go. Yeah, to carry him for a long time. Huh. Wow, I wonder if that's his plan. Huh. Okay, but yeah, anyways, moving forward. He needs the depth. Dalton Kincaid is nice, but he needs the depth. Moving on to 11 for tight ends. I'm going two Mannings, one Cup. And you can make the argument here just because there is the depth, I suppose, that he should be above AB's welfare. But I took the talent there. Here on two Mannings, one Cup, we got Dalton Schultz, Dawson Knox, and Pat Freiermuth. I guess Dalton Schultz is tight end one, right? I mean, yeah, you're not counting on Pat Freiermuth and or Dawson Knox to be tight end one. So he definitely you can see what his strategy was here. When he drafted, because I'm pretty sure he drafted all three of these guys, and I'm pretty sure his strategy was, I'm gonna go get the value guys at tight end, the low floor but high upside, but you know, low risk or low risk, high reward or mid reward, I guess, guys. Yeah, you definitely see what his strategy was here. And with Dalton Schultz, you can say it worked out because Dalton Schultz had a decent year last year, and he didn't spend it. You know, when did he get drafted? Oh, wow. Pause. I drafted Dalton Schultz. I drafted Dalton Schultz. Okay. That's right. I did draft Dalton Schultz. That's right. I did draft Dalton in this league with the 7th pick in the 10th round. Okay. And so I dropped him about, I think it was week 1 after week 1 or 2, and Nolan picked him up, which was a good pickup. Okay. So he drafted Pat Freiermuth and Dawson Knox. Wow, he drafted terribly a tight end. What was he thinking? Oh, my gosh. Wow. Well, shout out to him for getting him a tight end one, because if I'd have hung on to Dalton Schultz, wow. I forgot I drafted him. I should have just hung on to him. Holy shit, what was I trading for Kelce for? And still got McBride and picked up McBride and just been Schultz and McBride. Oh my gosh, bro. Holy shit. That tight end room would be going, with Tucker Kraft, would be going crazy. Who else do I have? I can't even remember who my own tight end is right now. I'm just so fucking mind blown by that right now, thinking about what my tight end room would be. Kate Otten? Oh, fuck that, bro. I like Kate Otten. But I would not be, oh man, I would definitely trade Kate Otten for at least last year, for Dalton Schultz. Wow. Wow. Wow, man, I really should have won that league last year. It's a damn shame I got third place. That is fucking crazy, man. Holy shit. Man, the mistakes we make in fantasy, gosh. For all the good moves you make, you're going to make some just as probably worse moves. Gosh. Wow. Okay. I'm going to try to pull it together here. That's all right. Number 12. And there's not a lot to pull together here for. We got, sorry, Ty, New York Diversity hires. I know Ty can take it, so I'm going to go ahead and say this. No homo. This is a piss-poor tight end room. Just absolutely piss-poor. Darren Waller, tight end one. Huge questions there. Injury questions, you know, going into last year. And now retirement questions. Now he's getting a divorce. Ah, man, yeah. Just no thanks. No thanks. If he even plays, I don't think he's tight end one. Probably a okay tight end two is his ceiling this year. And how old is he now? 31. He's getting older. Now, tight end is obviously something you can play, you know, at 30, 31, 32, 33 and still be better. That's not so much the running back cliff. But still, 31 is starting to push it up there. And and then Darnell Washington for tight end two. Yeah, I don't know. Let me go look at this game log from last year. Maybe I'm sleeping on him. No, I'm definitely not sleeping on him. I'm definitely not. Definitely not. On the field a bunch. This is definitely a blocking tight end. Just looking at his numbers right here. On the field, you know, roughly half the time throughout last year. And I don't think he averaged a target a game. Maybe a target a game. No, it's not even a target a game. Just a piss poor tight end room. And again, I'm sorry, Ty, but I know you can handle hearing that. You're not going to get your feelings hurt. Wow, that's just not good. And we're actually gonna have to take a quick break here because I'm slacking and do not have the official what the official scores for everyone here is. And what that ranks out to be officially. So we will take a quick break and I will be right back with that. Okay, so jumping back into these rankings, I got everything ranked up. The lower the score, the better here, because I ranked it on a scale of 1 to 12, because there's 12 teams in the league is how I ranked it. And so if you're ranked 1, obviously that's best. And if you're ranked 12, obviously that's not good. So we'll go ahead and go worst to best here. Coming in at number 12, we got Tricky Dicky with a score of 9. You know, obviously the tight end room wasn't terrible, but just other than that, needs reinforcements at every spot. And you could probably still upgrade a little bit at tight end too. Number 11, we got New York Diversity Hires. Great running back room. Probably, if I'm not sucking my own dick, he's probably got the best running back room in the league. But I'm blowing myself, and I am number 1. I got him at 8.75. Really needs some help pretty much everywhere outside of that running back room. But he's good to go there. At number 10, I got the Titletown Bearcats with a score of 8.5. You know, he's got some pieces. There's just not a ton of depth. And the depth that is there is just, in my opinion, not very good. At number 9, we got 2 Mannings, 1 Cup with a score of 8. He had a decent wide receiver score of 4. QB was 7. He's got CJ Stroud and Aaron Rodgers. I don't hate that, but just long term and not big on the room, I guess. I don't know. I would love to have CJ Stroud. I would love that. He might be one of the best dynasty quarterbacks there is. You can make a case for him maybe being a top 3 dynasty quarterback right now. Easily could do that. But still, Aaron Rodgers maybe has a year left, and who knows what that year is going to be. So just not what you want to see there. Running back room needs a bunch of help. Tight end room needs help. Moving on to number 8, we got OG Snowbone with a score of 7.5. Average QB room needs, I have him dead last in running backs, needs help. Great wide receiver room, number 3. Could probably use some help at tight end, though. If Kyle Pitts just needed a quarterback, he could have a really good tight end room going forward into this year. Going on to number 7, we got London Silly Nannies. I have him ranked as the number 4 quarterback room, of course. I'll just go ahead and say I know that's going to change, but this is pre-draft rankings, and if we started now, I know he's going to draft a quarterback, and it doesn't even matter who he does. That alone might move him up a spot. And if who he drafts turns out to be really good, he might be number 1. And I hate to say that, but he might go to number 1, but definitely number 2 if the quarterback he drafts is good. But needs a ton of depth at wide receiver. Needs depth, needs a star, just needs all the help at wide receiver. And I'm coming for DK Metcalf, so he definitely needs some help. At running back, I have him lower at the end of the pack at 7. You know, he's got some guys there. You know, that's another spot if he drafts, you know, hits a nice running back this year. He could easily jump, you know, at 7, he could jump, you know, 2, 3, maybe even 4 spots, depending how good the back is, and if James Conner continues to, like, embarrass doubters, featuring Gracie again, she's coming back to start meowing in the background, so there's that. And then over at tight end, I know we just got into that, so I won't spend too much time talking about that, but had him at a score of 7.5. Moving on to number 6, at the midway point, at the wrong side of the midway point, I got Watson's Dirty Elf with a score of 6.75. Number 3 quarterback room, he's got Mahomes, Love, and who is his 3? I forget who his 3rd was, but I like those 2 right there. That's in a dynasty. Yeah, oh man, that's really nice. I like that a lot. Both have a ton of years in front of them and a ton of ups. Obviously, Mahomes has the ton of upside, but I think Jordan Love does as well too, and he's got a ton of talent to throw there and to throw to in a, excuse me, wow, stuttering over that, he's got a ton of talent to throw to up there in Green Bay. Sheesh. Get it together, Zach. But
need some help at wide receiver there. Could use a running back. Could use a good running back. Am I looking at the right guy? Yeah, needs a couple. Sorry, I was looking at the wrong guy. Needs a couple of running backs. Wide receiver. He's got great depth. He needs that true number one, and then he's got a legit wide receiver room, a very nice wide receiver room. Tight end, we just got into that. Obviously, that's got a chance to probably move up a spot or two, depending on how Njoku does this year. But going into now, that's where I have it. 6.75 for sixth place ranking for him. Sheesh, get it together, Zach. Oh my gosh. On the right side of the midway point, I have the Conquistadors. Okay, QB room. I got a number 8. Who's the second quarterback? I know he's got Tua and Brock Purdy. I need to move him up ahead of two Mannings, one Cup there. I like CJ Stroud, but I need to move him up. I don't think that moving up that one spot in the quarterback rankings is going to adjust his ranking here. So I'm going to go ahead and leave him at 5 because I still feel really comfortable with that. Definitely a potential playoff team, if he has good injury luck, you know. And, okay, I'll say this. If he has good injury luck and Nick Chubb comes back and is 80% of what he was when he got hurt last year, this is a playoff team. Easy. That's a playoff team. And I'm moving the running back room from, I have ranked 6th, probably up to 5th or 4th. If Nick Chubb comes back at 80% of what he was. I like this team. Obviously got the good tight end room. We got into that. Need some wide receiver help. He's got DJ Moore and Cooper Kupp. I like that. And he's got Brandon Cooks as well, and I'm forgetting somebody else that he's got. Jacoby Myers on his roster. He needs a little bit more. Just a little bit more. Like another like receiver, like or even just a really like a legit number one. You can make the case for Cooper Kupp or DJ Moore, and I get that, but I don't think either of those are number one receivers this year in fantasy. So if he can get like a wide receiver one and draft a fantasy wide receiver one, that's definitely a playoff team, especially with Nick Chubb, if he comes back healthy. At number 4 overall, we got Conquistador score of 6. Coming in at number 4 with a score of 5 is Dongon Tedes, the reigning champ. Number 1 tight end group, number 5 receiver, number 5 running back, number 9 at quarterback. He's going to have to figure something else better out at quarterback this year, in my opinion. I don't think he's going to be able to skate by like that. I just don't think that's going to work out for him this year. And again, this is all offensive ranking. If we were including IDP into this, he's probably the number... He might be the number one team still. Yeah, as champ as he should be. Because his IDP is nasty. It's nasty. But this is all offense. We're not doing that. So got him 4, score 5. Really solid group. Think he needs to address quarterback if he can in the draft. If he can address quarterback and just get a solid guy in the draft, whether that be via trade, all this stuff, whether it's via trade or via, you know, a selection, can upgrade a quarterback there a little bit, then I honestly don't see any reason why he couldn't repeat. Number 3, we got sneaky, but the team formerly known as Teammate, now we're calling it DLT temporarily until he decides on his team name. He's only been in the league, I think it's like a day and a half, 2 days now, so giving him some time on that, you know, we want him to have a good name. I think I already elaborated on that yesterday. We got DLT here with a score of 4.5 at the number 3 position. I got him at the number 3 spot for tight end. Solid group there, really good group. Number 7 group at wide receiver. I think he just needs to draft that number 1 receiver, true number 1 receiver. He's got a ton of great depth,
and a couple of guys that could ascend to that number one spot this year in Drake London and George Pickens. We'll see as far as that goes. So he definitely stands a chance to move up to like number five or four even in the receiver group if those guys go forward. Running back, he's got, you know, the best 1-2 punch by far in the league with McCaffrey and Barkley. Yeah, you're not messing with that. So as far as the starting punch, but he does need some depth there, because after that he's got AJ Dillon at running back, and it's only gets worse after AJ Dillon, and that's not good. At quarterback, I got him fifth with Stafford, Watson, and Darnold. Again, we're talking like we're starting today. And as of right now, for my money, I would say Sam Darnold probably be that starter in Minnesota, assuming they don't draft a rookie quarterback. I would take him over Nick Mullins personally, and I think he needs that better shot with weapons. He never had that in New York. He didn't get the real chance to shine there in San Francisco. You know, got to play with Kyle Shanahan and learn a little bit, and got to, you know, at least practice with some better players and throw the ball, you know, warm up with better players. So I definitely think he could be a sneaky quarterback option there. This year, should he start? Number two, AB's welfare with a score of 3.75. Got him number two at quarterback, number four at running back, number one at receiver, number 10 at tight end. But, you know, tight end's a position I could get, you know, when you're as dominant as he is at all the rest, and you're the one tight end you have is Dalton Kincaid, I can get over it. And I'm sure he addresses that in the draft. Like I was saying earlier, if he drafts Brock Bowers, that's going to be quite the tight end room. Oh my gosh, he's not going to have to worry about drafting a tight end for a decade, literally, which is crazy. I mean, maybe for a tight end three, but I mean, he went all through last year tight end one and actually sacrificed in his week, which this year it's not going to fly. I allowed it last year. Just because I didn't want to interfere with strategy. He didn't field a player during Dalton Kincaid's bye week, but, you know, he messaged me about it, you know, and gave me the heads up. Was like, hey, you know, I don't feel like there's anyone on my team I want to cut for a tight end that's going to get me a points that's going to, you know, make that difference, on the game day. 'Cause he was playing, I believe, Brady, who was tanking and trying to lose anyways. AB was slated to win that by a lot anyways. And what it really came down to was, I don't remember the exact number, but AB was predicted to win by about 15 to 20 points. And the highest projected tight end on that week was projected at about 9 points. And I think the highest scoring tight end that was on waivers that week scored, I think, 12 points. So it wouldn't have made any difference. So I didn't make him cut a player for it or do anything about it. This year, though, going to have to field the spot. You're going to have somebody there to throw in the backup. You're going to have to field the position, essentially, to word it like that, I guess. Going to have to field a player there. But that's getting sidetracked there a little bit. Just a dominant team. Number one wide receiver, obviously. He's so fucking loaded. And in a three wide receiver... three wide receiver, two flex league, like, that's so valuable. Like, the best value in the league, outside of quarterback, that he's got the best value in the league there at wide receiver. And in my estimation, we both kind of flip flop on the receiver and the quarterback. I'm one at quarterback, he's two at quarterback. I'm two at receiver, he's one at receiver. And that's why I have us both one and two, obviously. You can really make the argument that he should be number one, and I'm not arguing with it, because honestly, he probably should be. But how these numbers came out, and I didn't do these numbers so that I know I've been sucking my own dick through this podcast, but I did not do these numbers to make myself come out first. But I do think I have overall the best quarterback room, the best running back room, the second best wide receiver room, and the fourth best tight end room, which averaged out to a score of two, for number one based off these metrics. Now, if I had to say straight up like things I would change right now, the big differences I would make is I would swap myself in AB's welfare and I would put AB at one. Would I, if we're going overall and we're considering IDP in it and all, I'd have to look at his IDP. What's his IDP room looking like? I know he needs depth. Of course, Sleeper makes me do an update mid show. I know he needs depth. I think he's got some solid starters, but I think I'd definitely give myself the IDP edge there, now that I'm thinking about it. He's got a Green Bay linebacker. I forget who his defensive lineman is. I forget who his defensive back is. Okay, that update did not take long. Let's go over here. But my other big switch would be is I would probably go ahead and switch Dong on Titties around and probably put him at number three. And, gosh, when you factor in the IDP, gosh, if we're talking about if we're going off like I have been saying today, the league starts today, I might even still have – no, because if the league started today, AB would still be able to find IDP on the waiver wire that could qualify him enough to hang with Dong on TDs there. And he's better than Dong on TDs at every other position other than tight end. I would actually probably move him ahead of myself just because that IDP is going to be crazy dominant. But the quarterback room, I really don't like his quarterback room at all. I'm not high on Justin Herbert. Obviously not high on Derek Carr, fantasy-wise. Gosh, man, that's... I would still go ahead and put him... No, because he could still acquire top tier IDP too. I'll go ahead and I'll put myself at third actually, and I will put Dong on TDs at two. I still think AB's welfare has got number one just because that offense is just too crazy loaded. I'm getting lost here. I gave my rankings. Those are my rankings. I'm number one. Dong on TDs. He's number four, at least in these metrics. Our top five right here, I'll go through that. The Conquistadors. Actually, I'll do our top six, our fringe playoff teams and up. Watson's Dirty Elf. And actually, I'll say London Silly Nannies because even at seven, I think that's a fringe playoff team right now too. So we'll go London Silly Nannies at seven. Watson's Dirty Elf. You know, fuck it. We'll do the whole league. Number 12, Tricky Dicky. Number 11, New York Diversity Hires. Number 10, Titletown Bearcats. Number 9, Two Mannix, One Cup. Number 8, OG Snowbone. Number 7, we got the London Silly Nannies. Number 6, Watson's Dirty Elf. Number 5, the Conquistadors. Number 4, Dong on TDs. Number 3, DLT. Number 2, AB's Welfare. And number 1, your boy, him. That pause, I'm not even going to get into. I almost said a bunch of really cringe stuff, and I'm glad I caught myself to only go halfway cringe here. Your boy is number 1. Your boy is number 1. As always, not as always, I'm still number 3, sadly. But I'm getting into ranting here. I need to get going. I've got to get to work in about 20 minutes. And I still got to eat and do a bunch of stuff. So guys, it's good to talk to you. Let's enjoy this draft. And, let's hit a dab real quick as a group. Let's collectively get your dab together. If you need a second, hit pause real quick. And when you're ready, hit play. Let's do a dab together. If you got to rip your bong, whatever you got to do. If you're drinking a beer, take a drink out of your beer, grab your drink. Grab your smoke, whatever you're doing. Let's do it. Let's have a toast to this draft, my fellas. My ladies, too, as well. Let's enjoy it. It's a very hype draft. I know we've all been looking forward to it. Now we've talked about this draft leading up to it for so long. Now let's get ready to talk about this draft after it for so long and get tired about talking about draft two, getting tired about talking about it. Gosh, I really need to end this before I keep stuttering more. Let's look forward to these fantasy draft guys. Let's do fantasy drafts, guys. Oh my gosh. Let's look forward to these fantasy drafts, guys. Let's hit these dabs. If you're still betting, let's cash some bets. And most fucking importantly, let's keep it about ball. Do that, Dad.
Thank you for listening to Keep It About Ball. Don't forget to follow the show on Twitter and subscribe to us on YouTube @ZBR Sports. And as always, thank you for listening and for your support.